Hey guys, welcome back to The Anxious Aquarius, and a very happy Valentine's Day. Thank you for being here and for taking in this time for yourself. In honor of Love Day, I wanted to talk about love, relationship love, self-love, just all love. I put a question box on my Instagram story to let you guys kind of just ask whatever you wanted to ask. So let's dive in with your questions. One is, how did you get your confidence up after your breakup physically? Well, my last breakup was 11 years ago. but I feel like finally realizing, you know, that what I wanted and that I did deserve better. And at that time, I was nowhere near knowing what that was. But I did know that I wanted more. I remember before that, before I realized that, never being able to remove a boyfriend from my life. I had such low self-esteem that I would literally beg a boyfriend to stay with me because I just wanted to feel worth staying for. Worth them changing their shitty behavior for. But when my last breakup happened, it was with a really shitty person who did really shitty things to me. He cheated on me. I mean, tons of times, not just once or twice, tons of times. He lied to me, obviously. He manipulated me. We probably broke up a couple of, you know, 4 or 5 times. But I always ended up making myself available for him again, you know, whenever he wanted to come back. Until that very last time. The moment that I realized that I had the power to end it if I wanted to, and I had the power to, you know, stop the pain if I wanted to. So I blocked him on everything and I never looked back. And it's sad to say, but he ended up with a really, really shitty life that I am so glad I was not a part of. I learned a lot about what I was allowing and why I was allowing it to happen. And it was never because I loved him. It was because I wanted to be loved. But the delusion in all of it that I wasn't seeing was that I didn't want to be loved the way he loved. And I chose not to see that because I was willing to accept anything that anybody was offering as love. So, I think that I never technically found my confidence back because I didn't have it before him. Because if I did, I wouldn't have put up with everything for so long. I did find some afterwards, and I'm happy to say that I haven't been cheated on since. So, that's good. I think that my confidence came when I started diving deep into finding love for myself that didn't change with my current status of whatever relationship that I was in. Meaning that even if my husband and I are in a disagreement, I still love myself, and that doesn't change. Building that foundation of love for yourself that you can carry with you in different stages of your life, in different relationships, is so important, because, you know, even if what you're building on top of that foundation collapses, you can start fresh with that great foundation that you built for yourself. Building that foundation is what is going to make you feel like something's wrong when the red flags start appearing. You know, deciding those boundaries and deciding kind of what you want for yourself, so that anything that is offered to you, you will know what feels right and what doesn't, because you have set those standards for yourself. I watched my younger sister go through a really hard relationship, and once she finally ended it, she focused on herself and was getting healthy and going to the gym, and she had her own place, and I was so happy for her and proud of her. And in doing that, she truly manifested preparing herself for the love of her life. She's married now with her daughter, my baby niece, and she has created a life that she loves because she took the time to build that foundation for herself and find that love for herself again. So, in summary, I think that taking the time for yourself to grieve what has ended and building up your foundation and taking the time to look back at what you learned from that relationship to figure out your future relationship boundaries, what you won't allow to ever happen again, you know, what to look out for, what were the red flags that you ignored, and then spend a lot of time loving yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, somebody who's hoping that you don't love yourself is going to notice that, and they're going to take advantage of that. So don't do that. Okay, number two is how to get through those tough disagreements and arguments. This is such a hard barrier to break through in any relationship for so many reasons. Because there's so many aspects that go into the disagreements and the arguments. Like, why are you disagreeing? Like, you have to sit back and look at how both of you were raised and how both of you take things and understand things and, you know, what things mean to you because of where you come from and what you've been through. So it's definitely not a one-size-fits-all thing. And also, like, is it the same argument every time, or are they arguments about different things because you're still learning each other's buttons and each other's boundaries? If it is the same argument topic, then it's definitely something that needs to be talked about deeper to finally be resolved so you can stop arguing about it. Being proactive about communication before getting into the argument is so helpful too. My husband and I bought this book off of Amazon called Fight Less, Love More. I think that's what it's called. That we've been doing, and so, like, the first half of the book teaches you how to communicate and how to understand each other better, and why we do the things that we do, like how we grew up to view things differently. And it's such an amazing change of perspective. I mean, being together for 10 years, I was like, how much am I really about to learn about him? I don't really think there's much more I can learn. But I have been, like, I've been learning a lot more about him than I had before, and I feel like it's definitely like a form of therapy, in the sense that it's going to ask you the questions that you wouldn't necessarily ask yourself or ask your partner, so that you can figure things out. Sometimes we don't understand things until we're asked the right way, so that we're like, oh wow, like I never thought of it like that. This is probably why I do that. So yeah, and then the second half of the book is relationship topics that need to be talked about if you're planning on spending the rest of your life with somebody, using the communication skills that you learned in the first half of the book. So like talking about kids, whether or not you want to have kids, how you want to raise those kids, work, chores, and just so on, like anything that you need to talk about in a relationship. So I feel like the best way to get through is to be proactive about how you want to go about them when you're good. So kind of like a contingency plan, like things are good right now, so let's make this plan, let's talk about how we're going to deal with things, so that when things are bad, we know how we're going to do it, you know? And then we only do that book on the weekends, and if we're both in a good headspace. Because when you talk about these things, like say you have the argument, you I'm sure if you're in a relationship, you know how it happens. You have the big argument, and then things start to like come around, you both start to start coming around, you're still mad, but you're still trying to talk it through, but you're still mad, and it's just exhausting, and you're going around in circles, and it's just not a good time, and you feel like you've solved something, but really you're just so exhausted, like you want to get to the part where we make up, you know? So when you're talking about these things, when you're in a good place, it's productive, and it's eye-opening, and it's like kind of fun. There are a lot of things that I don't like about my husband, as I'm sure there are many things that he does not like about me, but there are also so many things about him that I love, and in a bigger perspective, I have loved him as many different versions of himself over the past 10 years, and because I have been in other relationships before, what I know for sure is that I will take my husband's problems and his baggage and annoying things that he does over other people's, because I've seen a lot of crazy baggage. So deciding that you don't want to argue, but rather have a discussion about ways to make both of you happier, the arguments will become far and few between. You're always going to have those little I'm annoyed with you arguments, you know, like you're just not having a good day and they do something that just pisses you off and you're just like, oh my god, will you please freaking stop? Will you stop? Like that can be the end of it. It doesn't have to, you know, turn into something bigger than that. It can be like, oh my god, please just stop, leave me alone. And then later you can be like, I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry, I was annoyed with you. And then that's it. It doesn't have to turn into a huge blowout, you know, about how, whatever, you know, like, but the more you decide to be proactive about things, the better things are going to be. So I hope that answers your question. Number three is, how do you deal with worrying about being cheated on? There was more, but I don't want to put what she said on here, because that's her personal her personal stuff. So the short answer is I don't worry about being cheated on. And I'm not saying that like because I don't worry about that because my husband would never do that. Even though it would be devastating, I don't worry about it. And not just because my husband and I have never had an argument about another woman or another man, because it is, I don't care if you're Mother Teresa, it is never impossible possible for someone to cheat on you just because they don't have a track record of doing it. Because things change. Sometimes people fall out of love or they're hurt and they don't know how to handle it. It's never impossible. But I don't worry about it because I have been there. And I will never, ever make obstacles for someone who wants to cheat on me so that they won't. Never, ever again. Like, I have been that girlfriend where, like, I want you to be texting me all the time because I want to know, like, what you're doing. Now I'm talking about 17-year-old Sarah. Well, like 16, 17-year-old Sarah. You know, like, I want to be with you so that I know you're not with anybody else, blah, blah, blah. And that was never something I wanted for myself ever again. Ever again. It's like a whole other job. So I will never check on someone. I will not babysit someone. I will not babysit a grown-ass person. Because if that's the only reason that they're not cheating on me, then I wouldn't want to be with them anyways. I might have the occasional nightmare, but I don't worry about it other than that. You know, he is free to do what he wants. And if that was what he wanted, then we just want to be together. Like, it's really that simple. Okay. What is this question for, I think? I think it's four. Okay. How do I make my relationship stronger? That is an easy one. Love yourself more. I'm not kidding. I know you guys are probably super annoyed, tired of me telling you to love yourself. But it is always the key. It is always the answer. Always the answer. It's never not the answer. I was once so codependent with my husband. My happiness and just my state of emotion solely depended on if we were good and like what his mood was. If we weren't, then I felt like my whole world was upside down and I felt like I couldn't breathe until things were solved and we were good again. Once I really started to develop love for myself aside from my husband, is when I feel like our relationship became stronger because it was more stable. It wasn't so one-sided. I wasn't so dependent on him to make me happy because I made myself happy. So anything he offered was just a bonus. Working on yourself will also make you a better mother, a better friend, a better worker, because it will all trickle down. Everything comes back to how you feel about yourself. Also, aside from that, communicating more, spending more quality time together, that is something that me and my husband didn't really see eye to eye on. In his mind, like, we're in the same house, we're in the same room, we're on the same couch, maybe on opposite ends, but we're both on our phones or, you know, not paying attention to each other, like, not actively, like, being intimate. And he thought that was it's quality time, like, we're spending time together, you know? But in my mind, it looked differently, and I don't know how many times I've told this dude, like, I want more quality time with you. And he's like, what are you talking about? Like, we're together all the time. Which isn't true, but whatever. But, like, once I finally was, like, able to have him understand what quality time looked like for me, he was like, oh. And then it started happening, you know? Like, just talking, sometimes You really think, like, I should not have to say this out loud? Or there's no way he can't know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean? But because of the way, you know, people see things so differently, how we were raised and what we, you know, grew up to believe, sometimes they really don't know, unfortunately. So talking about things more, being proactive about things, talking about things, you know, before they happen, and trying to make space for those open conversations to happen is really important. And when I say that, let me define that. When I say that, I mean, when I say making space for those open conversations to happen, I mean it in a way that, like, if you save it for when you're mad and when you're, you know, when you're like, listen, I'm just tired of this shit, you know, like, this and this, blah, 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 like, the other person is gonna be like, oh my god, like, what did I do? Like, they're gonna get defensive, because that's, you know, our human instinct is to get defensive. So they're in, like, after that, they're not gonna hear anything you have to say. They're just, like, ready to be on the defense. So anything you have to say after that is just pointless. But if you come at it in a, like, hey, I want to set some time aside, you know, once a week to talk about our marriage, like, so that we're both happy, they're gonna understand it a lot better. Like, you're holding their hand, you're, you know, sitting with them saying, hey, I want to talk about this because I love you and I want us both to be happier. Like, there's no reason for them to jump on the defense. So they're gonna hear everything you have to say, and they're gonna be like, oh, she wants to love me more. I want to listen to what she has to say because I want to love her more too, you know, kind of like how me and my husband are doing that book right now, talking about things when we're in a good state of mind. Neither one of us are on the defense, so we hear everything that the other person has to say. So yeah, that's how I would suggest making your relationship stronger. Making time for each other, like, literally, I know this, you know, 20-year-old Sarah would be like, what the hell, but scheduling in appointments with them, if you have to do that, like, people are so busy, if you have to set an appointment so that, like, and when I say that, I mean, like, hey, we're hanging out Friday night, 7 o'clock, be there, like, with no phones, we're gonna get some food, whatever, no distractions. That's what you gotta do. That's what you gotta do. Do it. So, I hope that you all had an amazing Valentine's Day. I hope nobody got broken up with, unless it was a good thing, then I'm glad. Thank you for giving me your questions and for taking this time for yourself to listen. Let me know if there was any question that you wanted me to dive deeper into and maybe talk about more, and I can definitely plan an episode around it. So yeah, I hope you have a great week, and I'll see you guys on Wednesday. Until then, bye.